Could some recruiting dominoes be starting to fall?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Are some dominoes starting to fall on the recruiting side? We're going to walk through that, talk about a couple of guys, and just overall where Auburn is in recruiting in general as far as football goes. We're going to have a little Tahad talk. Possibly could be getting some news here pretty soon on him. And then some stadium upgrades that are going to be voted on that honestly look pretty sweet. Let's jump right in. It's been slow. Let's just be honest. From a commitment standpoint, hasn't been slow from a news, from a visit, from a hype standpoint, I guess, on recruiting. A lot of deja vu for me anyways from last year. This was very similar. Okay. A lot of hype. Only last year, you never really got to the commitment. So, again, similar storylines, but the biggest ones right now that we're talking about are, number one, Nash Johnson decommitting from Alabama, who is probably Auburn's top target and corner, and then Will Mensel with a big visit next week at Oregon. Those two are seemingly some guys that could maybe pull the trigger in the very near future. So let's talk about them. Let's start with Nash Johnson. 6'1", 180-pound corner, athlete, whatever you want to call him, from McEachern High School. That's a pretty popular Auburn player, specifically in basketball. High school, got a lot of Auburn flavor there. He's been committed to Alabama for quite some time. He decommitted from Alabama yesterday. Okay, so that's a big step in the right direction. If you're going to obviously land this kid, you got to get him away from the previous school that he was committed to. I know if you look him up, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, we're freaking out over a three-star. We're having a whole podcast over a three-star. Scroll a little bit further down on his profile and look at that offer list. Tennessee. Obviously, Alabama, Miami, Ole Miss, the who's who of who you want after a kid to give the value that you're looking for, he's got them. He's got all the offers from everybody. Everybody wants him. Really, really good athlete. So whenever I look at a corner, there's a couple of things that I like to see. Number one, can you play up on the line of scrimmage? And can you play off? And if you watch his huddle film, he's got some really good clips, especially early, being a physical jam at the line corner. And then he has the, hey, retreat and play a little zone aspect to him too. So I like versatility there. I like physicality. He's not afraid to tackle, not afraid to stick his head in there and pop somebody if the need arises. And then football IQ is another one that is big. I don't know if you ever played high school football, but it always felt like if you ever ran any type of two receiver route and they crossed, if you ever could cross, it just put high school defensive backs in an absolute blender. Like, for whatever reason, that's just really hard at the high school level to grasp. Anytime you got two receivers running and then they split and go different directions, opposite directions, it just makes things tough. You don't know who to pick up. It crosses you up. There's several clips. Go watch it. There's even some that they try to run like little rub routes off of him, and he just sniffs it out every single time. That's big. Football IQ is something that's very, very important. You can be the greatest athlete in the world if you don't really understand and love football. Like, it could be useless at the next level. They're just going to pick on you, and there's nothing you can really do about it. So how fast could this one go? The first domino fell. He's decommitted from Alabama. I think Auburn would love to push on him really quickly. He's been to Auburn multiple times. I don't even really know. I guess Tennessee would probably be a pretty big competition. But I don't really know exactly who the other big front runners are. Auburn leads in this, whatever you want to call this, rivals prediction machine thing they have. They're leading in that, which just calculates like visits. It follows the visits and the articles and quotes and things like that. So would love to go ahead and get that one in the boat here pretty quick. And then you got Will Mensel, who's got a really big visit coming up next week. Okay, he's got a visit coming up next week to Oregon, and I think he's mentioned that he wants to have a decision pretty soon. So he'll be in Oregon on April 16th, and that feels like that's pretty much it. It's Auburn versus Oregon, which in a vacuum, I know that doesn't sound ideal. Like, you don't typically want to go head-to-head with Oregon over guys, especially guys that are more out west, closer to Oregon than they are closer to home. But Auburn is not giving up. They really like this kid. They're fighting tooth and nail. Oregon actually has another guy that they're recruiting at quarterback who's, I think he may actually be in town there now. So they're at least looking at some other options. Auburn seems pretty focused on Will Mensel to the point where I'm not really sure what direction they go. I'm not really sure what direction they go should he pull the trigger and go to Oregon after this. There's going to be a lot of people like maybe freaking out about that. I don't really know how like super necessary a quarterback in this class is. I know we've talked about getting out of the cycle of dipping into the portal and things like that, but they really like this kid. I think they want him to be the future, and they may not really value a ton of other guys as guys that could be the future in as soon as 2 years. Like, hey, come in your freshman year and then take over your sophomore year. I don't really know how many other guys they view as that type of guy. So I kind of talked about it earlier, but there is a lot of these type stories that we've been talking about. We've been talking about a lot of guys like on the edge, get the prediction, you know, seems to be trending towards Auburn, but you haven't had a commit since the middle of February, I believe, with Donovan Moore. So you're going on 2 months now without a commit. And like I said earlier, there's only so much Golish and staff can do, if you know what I'm saying. You catch my drift there? There's only so much they can do. There's a lot of things and that they have to abide by from the top, okay? And I'm not calling out names, but you remember the stories from last year. A lot of the hindrances in recruiting revolve around NIL. And it's not so much that the money's not there. It's that maybe we're not 100% comfortable promising within the rules, within the gray area, whatever, the numbers that need to get the job done, okay? So I don't know 100% yet if we've learned our lesson. I'm not trying to sound the alarm, and I'm not trying to be like – it could be a strategy that they're waiting to see where they are with multiple guys, and then they go boom, and they pull in – five or six guys like that, back to back to back to back. That very well could be what's happening. Let's check the lay of the land, see where everybody is. Okay, we feel good about these five or six guys. We like where we're at as far as a player goes, as far as money goes. Let's go ahead and close it. Okay, could very well be that. What I hope is it's not the other where they love us, but we can't really give them because of the restrictions we're given on ourselves, the restrictions we're putting on ourselves as far as giving them the numbers they need to pull the trigger. So hopefully that's not the case. And it's just I'm getting deja vu, getting a little deja vu feelings here. But I think Auburn is in a strong position from an NIL perspective. They're obviously willing to spend. It's just a matter of, are you willing to push the envelope a little bit? And that doesn't mean overspending. That means being creative on how you spend and how you market that. So there's several guys out there that I feel like could be in the boat right now. So I'm hoping that we're just, it's a part of the recruiting strategy and we're ready to put the pedal to the metal here very, very soon. Maybe you're planning some big A-day deal where you pop off a bunch of commits. Yeah, that could very well be the case too. So we'll see what happens. Some dominoes are definitely moving in Auburn's direction. Now you just got to go close it. Go close it, and hopefully we got the gloves off and we're ready to go there. We're going to talk about Tejada. We're going to talk about stadium upgrades here in just a second. But before we do that, hey, buy Auburn. If you're going to be a part of the Auburn family, if you're going to say you're a part of the Auburn family, hey, how about be a part of the Auburn family? If you're going to say it, be about it. Do business with Auburn people. Spend money with Auburn people. We're putting together a professional network of Auburn-owned businesses at buyauburn.com. So hopefully in the future, no matter where you go across the country, you can pull up the website, find a Auburn business to visit nearby wherever you are. It doesn't matter if you're moving to Huntsville and you want an insurance agent. Hey, we need you. Hey, if you're moving to Dallas, Texas, and you want to find a good restaurant, if you're an Auburn person out there and you got a restaurant in Dallas, Texas, hey, we need you. So go to buyauburn.com and let's make this thing huge. Let's give Auburn options literally all over the country for other Auburn fans. And then go to aushirts.com. If you love watching all the different shows, we have a lot of funny sayings, memes, things like that. We're putting them on apparel for you. Just had two orders for the FE shirt last night. Very excited about that. That's the iron symbol shirt T that we have in multiple colors. Got the bug hat. That's very popular. A lot of fun stuff. Check it out, aushirts.com. We'll be back right after this. Obviously, had the big announcement of Kevin Overton yesterday, which was very, very exciting, especially after the shock, I guess. Shock may not be the right word, but surprise. Let's go with surprise. Surprise of Jovich announcing his intentions to go into the portal. Don't know if he's actually officially in there yet. But I think that once the Kevin Overton shoe dropped, I think all attention is kind of turned on Tejada. Okay, what does Tejada do? What does Auburn do? And I think they want a resolution to this very, very quickly. I know that they've been meeting with him as recent as up to yesterday, and they want a conclusion to this thing like ASAP. And I think there's a great conversation to be had and about what does that look like for next year. And there's a lot of questions about this past year and how things went down with Bruce leaving and Steven taking over. What's that relationship like? What's that style like when you have a player like Keyshawn Hall that's a little bit more ball dominant? Does that free him up, you know, to taking away a player like that? Does that free Tejada up? You saw, you know, in the tournament where I feel like Keyshawn wasn't like super duper dominant, Tejada sort of came along a lot better. I think before the NIT, this thing was headed towards Tejada going elsewhere. Like I would almost, and it still may, I would almost guarantee that it was going that direction. Something happened and there was it definitely seemed like a bond was created in those five games. And I really think there's an opportunity. I really think there's a chance he could come back now. I know they don't want to drag this out. I know that they feel like that they can put something together to feature him as a premier player in the SEC. And I think Tejada has all the talent in the world to be a premier player in the SEC. So can they get it done? I know that Tejada is really more of a Bruce coaching style. It's really more of a, you know, carefree, like kind of let me go as I wish. And when I say that, I'm talking about more on the floor, like operate more freely. And then Steven's more about, hey, we're more regimented. It's more by the book. He's harder. He coaches harder. And I know that that takes a while to get used to. Like when you're so tuned into the Bruce vibes and then you go into the Steven vibes, which I'm not saying one is better than the other. Honestly, I think the Bruce vibes are probably an anomaly. I don't think that's very common across the country as far as coaches go. I think Steven's probably more in line with the vast majority of football or basketball coaches as far as discipline goes, as far as, you know, tough love goes. And I think that just takes time for both of them to get used to. And I think, you know, whatever happened over those five games in the NIT, it's really strengthened, maybe mended some fences on that relationship, and it's something that could possibly end up with him returning. And I think that would be a huge boost to a lot of narratives and a lot of conversation around Steven and the future of Auburn basketball. So it's not the end of the world if he decides to go elsewhere. There's going to be a ton of options. We talked about it yesterday. There's, I think, over half of the players in college basketball are in the portal. I think I saw something like that, which is just, think about that. All the players in college basketball, I think nearly half of them are in the portal right now. It's just insane. So there's options out there. Todd's a pretty good dang option too. Okay, so if they can reel that one in, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if you had an announcement today, one way or the other. Like they want this done because they got to either lock him in and move on, or lock him in and then go find the other options to build around him, because, you know, that's going to be a significant financial commitment. So it may affect some of the other pieces that you go get. And then if he goes elsewhere, that opens up obviously a lot to go find the other pieces to fit. So it's something they want done quickly. Again, wouldn't shock me if you heard something today. I know they don't want it to go much longer. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's see what happens there. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think in the comments. If you feel like that's a good move, it's a smart move to go all in to bring him back, how excited you'd be if he came back, and then if you feel like Auburn should go look elsewhere. Auburn has approved, I think, and they're getting ready to vote on some stadium expansion stuff in that north end zone. And they released some images yesterday, and I'm going to be honest, it looks pretty amazing. Like it looks exactly like, I know if you're like me, if I could do anything to Jordan Hare, I'd love to just kind of like brick the whole thing. Like, not even necessarily expand it, but like, let's just brick it. You know, like you see especially in that north end zone, you just see all the steel beams and things like that. And it's like, man, let's just put a facade around the whole thing. It'll look real sharp. Look a lot like, I don't know if you've ever seen Florida State Stadium. Maybe look something similar to that. But they released this these images, and, you know, I should have clipped them and put them on here, but it's also an audio podcast. And it's a lot of brick. It's a lot of glass. It just looks really nice. I think it's going to be like 300,000 square feet, like something crazy, a huge event space. Looks really good. Looks really good. And here's another thing, if you're very familiar with the stadium and area, that I think could be really cool. You know how when you're walking around, like let's say you're on the basketball arena side, okay, and you want to walk around the north end zone and get to Haley Center, or you want to get to the student center, you want to go to Chick-fil-A in the student center. Well, as you walk, you know, you go down, there's an area where you go down pretty deep and you have to come back up a hill to get all the way up to Haley Center. Well, what it looks like they're going to do is actually lift that and make a giant pavilion with green space, activity space, and then the opposing teams will pull underneath that and park underneath that. So like it'll kind of create a lower parking area. And then on top, you just kind of, instead of walking down and up, you just kind of walk around. And it looks, that would, to me, would be one of the better, one of the better additions of it all. Cause that's a hoof. If you walk around that side of the stadium, that would definitely make that a lot easier. These are the kind of things that Auburn needs. John Cohen said it in 2025, there's a demand for premium in Auburn Stadium. Auburn's premium stuff just hasn't really changed for years and years and years and years. And they're going to do something for that. So $323 million. I know if you're like me, the first thing that goes through your head is like $323 million. I'll tell you what. Let's do a $250 million and let's take $50 million out of that. Or let's do $270 million and take $53 million out of that. And let's go buy a national championship. Let's go put a team together go get a $50 million roster. I don't think it necessarily works that way. But regardless, the money is obviously there and pledged through bonds and gifts. And they're going to vote on it very soon to get it done. And I wish we could have saw some more renderings from the inside. All of the renderings were from the outside. So it'll be a booger when it's under construction for sure. But after that thing's done in the next, however long it takes, three, four years, it'll be extremely nice, extremely nice. Let me know what you think. Guys, thank you all for listening. Let me know what you think about the recruiting deal. Are you as nervous? Are you nervous at all? Or you think this is all part of the plan? Let me know what you think about Tahan. Let me know what you think about the stadium upgrades. And we got practice today. Again, we'll be at practice here in just a little bit. We're going to go live again at 2 o'clock like we always do, talking about practice, talking about everything that went down. So make sure you're there for that. Hopefully we'll see some cool stuff today and have a lot of fun notes to talk about. Y'all take it easy. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.